February 7th. Agar?
Present.
Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Bouchard? Bouchard?
Excused.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Here.
President Bebout?
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
The prayer this morning by Pastor Billy Minder. Please rise.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Sorry I'm not wearing a bolo tie. Ellen told me Tuesdays are bolo tie days, but Senator Perkins forgot to tell me about it. So. It's been my privilege to do this for, I think this is my fourth or fifth year, to have a week to pray for you all. And I just want to say, as a citizen of Wyoming, to watch the camaraderie, the laughter, the way you handle yourselves, it makes me feel proud to be a citizen of Wyoming. Thank you very much. Privilege to pray for you. Father, we thank you for another day. And we want to pause for a moment and come to you on this Tuesday to thank you for all the good things you've given us and also to ask for your help. I know many of these senators and staff have already worked for a lot of hours this morning. They have many hours left to go. So give them strength for today. Help them do what's best for the people of Wyoming. So, Lord, my prayer today is I'd ask you to help these men and women of the Wyoming Senate, whether their job is an assistant or a page or behind the scenes as clerks or administrative personnel or senators, help them give their best, help them serve each other, and to do their job in such a way that at the end of this week you can look down and say, well done. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 6, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Senator Wasserberger, are you objecting or are you just stretching? Okay. There being none, the report is adopted. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, could I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate in the gallery behind you, and it's you could say, look out, the redcoats are coming. We have members of Skills USA, and today, well, this week is Skills USA week, and I understand the governor is signing a proclamation proclaiming this is Skills USA week. And behind us, we have some folks from Skills USA. If they'd stand up, we have Kimberly Archuleta, Jacob Arment, Hannah Clementson, Emma Haber from Gillette, and Hannah is from Casper, and Jacob is from Rollins, Jody Black from Gillette, Addison Stevenson from Cheyenne, Mabel Raymond from Rollins, and Michaela Wilder from Rollins. And Skills USA is a student organization and is a partnership of students, teachers, and industry working together to ensure America has a skilled workforce. They are working on leadership, building enthusiasm for learning, preparing themselves for future careers. I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to the Senate. The doctor for the day will be Dr. Megan, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Schaff, is that correct?
Chief,
welcome. Good to have you here. Doctor, there's a reason we put you on that side of the chambers, because there are several of our distinguished senators that might need your assistance quicker than some on this side of the room. So I'm not saying I'm talking about anyone in particular, Senator Coe, You're not recognized, Senator Coe. There will be no nurse today. We have a PA, though, and we have a veterinarian doctor. Today in Wyoming history, in 1888, the territorial legislature passed a petition to Congress to organize Wyoming as a state. Today is day 21 of the proposed 37-day session. It is also last day for third reading on bills in the House of Origin. Messages from the House. And while she's grabbing that, I want to remind everybody that, of course, we're going to have budget, second reading and third reading amendments on the budget bill. In the past, there have been times when we would color those. Those colored pages do not do very well with our printing machines, so they will not be printed, members of the Senate. So when you get your second reading amendments and third reading amendments to the budget bill, they will be all on white paper. We're not trying to confuse you. It's just a logistical thing. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 6, 2017. Message number 259. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the votes indicated. House Bill number 36, Obsolete Laws. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 261. House Bill number 55, Spending Policy Amendments 2. Ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2. Message number 262. House Bill number 79, State Funds Equity Investments Pool. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 263, House Bill number 183, Security for On-Deposit Public Funds. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 264, House Bill number 202, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties. Ayes 47, noes 11, excused 2. Message number 266, House Bill number 222, Background Checks, Access to Federal Tax Information. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 267, House Bill number 230, Hemp Farming. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 270, House Bill number 270, Wolf Management, Trophy Game Animal. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 271, House Bill number 275, Driver's Licenses, Revisions. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 273, House Bill number 227, Automatic Renewal of Consumer Contracts. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 274, House Bill number 271, Game Bird Farms, Greater Sage Grouse. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 275, House Bill number 276, Recording Legislative and Other Meetings. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 276, House Bill number 288, Game and Fish Fees. Ayes 40, noes 18, excused 2. Message number 260, Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading by the votes indicated. House Bill number 41, Court-Ordered Placements, Age Restrictions. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 265, House Bill number 221, Non-Resident Employer Bonding Requirements. Ayes 39, noes 19, excused 2. Message number 268, House Bill number 241, Background Checks, Interstate Compact. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2. Message number 269, House Bill number 254, Public Purpose Investments. Ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2. Message number 272, House Joint Resolution number 9, National Speech and Debate Education Day. Ayes 58, excused 2. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February 6, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred House Bill 3, engrossed, cease and transfer priority list, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Raffas, and Von Flatern, Senator Anderson, acting chair. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 65, engrossed, Public Safety Communications Reorganization, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill number 52, engrossed, Governmental Immunity, Cooperative Public Transportation, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 78, engrossed, Salvage Title Updates, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom is referred House Bill 6, Principle-Based Reserving, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill number 7, engrossed, Credit for Reinsurance, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 43, engrossed, Board of Insurance Examiners Repeal, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 51, engrossed, Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred House Bill 229, engrossed, Game Animals Hunt Consultation Services, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred House Bill 121, engrossed, Fishing Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
It was read in that school finance interfund borrowing. I request that it be re-referred to committee number 2. Does have an appropriations.
What number was that again, Senator?
House Bill 38.
38. Without objection, House Bill 38 is referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Bill's on second reading. House Bill 17, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 17, Adult Protective Orders Time Limit Extension.
House Bill 17, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 18, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families.
House Bill 18, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 25, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 25, Dry Bean Commission Member Terms.
House Bill 25, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 71, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 71, engrossed, Unemployment Insurance, Electronic Communications.
House Bill 71, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 83, Healthcare Facility Licensing, Bed Count Limit Exemption.
House Bill 83, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. Bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list as follows. Senate File 95, Early Retirement. Senate File 124, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transaction. Senate File 157, Education, Continuing Contract Teacher Status. Senate File 170, Unmanned Aircraft. And Senate File, House Bill 16, Small Claims Appearance Fee.
Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Case.
Mr. President, there are some amendments coming out on Senate File 95. I think they're already out, actually, but there's probably them right here. So could we remove that one? Early retirement.
Okay.
Without objection, Senate File 95 is removed. Do we have those amendments? Are they being distributed?
Mr. President?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, no, those aren't prepared yet. They're coming out. They'll be out shortly, but they haven't been. They've got to be finalized and copied and distributed.
Okay. Any other bill that you'd like to have removed from the consent list? Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 124, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transactions. Senate File 157, Education Continuing Contract Teacher Status. Senate File 170, Unmanned Aircraft. And House Bill 16, Small Claims Appearance Fee. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll for the consent list?
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson? Anselmi Dalton,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barnard,
aye.
Boner,
aye.
Bouchard,
aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Ellis,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
Moniz,
Nethercott, Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 124, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 124, 30-I. Senate File 157, are there any changes?
Rothfuss,
aye to no. Hastert, aye to no.
Barnard,
aye to no. Anselmi Dalton, aye to no. Boner, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no.
Ellis,
aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 157, 16 aye, 14 no.
Was that 16 ayes, 14 noes?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Senate File 170, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 170, 30-I. House Bill 16. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 16, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 124, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transactions, Senate File 157, Education Continuing Contract Teacher Status, Senate File 170, Unmanned Aircraft, and House Bill 16, Small Claims Appearance Fee, have passed the Senate. Has that amendment been distributed on 95 yet? Okay, let's do 165. 160, Senate File 165, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 165, School Finance Education Funding Reductions, sponsored by Senator Landon, an act relating to school finance.
We have several amendments. Will the reading clerk please read both of them in?
Senate File 165, Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 4, line 15. Senate File 165, Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 2, line 7.
Okay, we're on Third Reading Amendment Number 1. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would remove Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 165. Members of the body, you have a handout on your desk. I would ask you to pull that out. We're gonna walk through the handout. Basically, the handout's the amendment. So what you do is you look at the transportation costs that we've expended for K through 12, going back to 2003 all the way through 2015-16. You can look at that as a pretty steady growth. It's kind of flattened out. So from that period, we had an average growth rate of about 3.7% per year. That's the average over that time period. Within the model, it allows them to go up to a 4% increase a year. When I went back and I actually calculated that same rate against inflation during that time period from 2002 through 2016, the inflation rate was about 2%. So our transportation budget's growing about twice what the national inflation rate is. So when you get to the end of this, what you see is we don't have the data yet for 2016-17. That won't be available until August of this year. You can see it's kind of flattened out the last couple of years, and a lot of that's associated with the fuel cost. We've seen a 5% reduction in the fuel cost, where it was a total cost of fuel in the 2015-16 year was only 5%. If you back that off a couple of years, that cost was about 10% of their total budget when fuel prices were up. When I looked forward at futures contracts to try to get an idea on what the actual transportation fuels are going to cost, I looked at the future contracts on both gasoline and also crude oil, and at least for the next 2 to 3 years, futures contracts are right where they're at today. So if you use that as a barometer going forward as to what those transportation fuel costs are going to cost, probably pretty similar to what we're at right now. But keep in mind, we're still growing at an average rate at about 2%. What this amendment does is it goes back to the 2011 and 2012 transportation costs. So if you look at that 2000 and 2011, transportation cost in that year was $83,446. What the amendment does is caps it at that level as we go forward. Members of the body, basically what that does is, and I've tried to estimate what the fuel costs are going to be this year using a 1 to a 2% increase. That's a little over $90 million. So roughly what that will do is with this amendment, it will basically cut between $6.5 and $7.5 million out of the transportation costs. We'll cap it going forward at this point in time. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman. I do need to mention that the note from the staff attorneys in here, because of recalibration in 2015, there's a question as to whether this meets the cost-based model. But just that's for the body's information. It may not be consistent with some of those Campbell decisions, but vote it up, vote it down. It has a $6.5 to $7 million savings. Caps it at least to the point that we get through recalibration and we can come back and revisit it next year and see what that does. Mr. President, that's the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, I understand the motivation for this and certainly understand that fuel prices is a part of our consideration when it comes to talking about transportation costs in a district. But I think if we go back to 2011 and 12, that doesn't necessarily reflect other trends that we see happening in education. For example, Laramie County, I know, is one of the few districts that's actually seen an increase in enrollment in our district. And I think that, you know, by simply going back to 2011 and 2012, doesn't fully capture some of the growth we've seen in our district. And along those lines, it might end up with disproportionate results where you've seen districts with a large number of students that are no longer enrolled in our districts, like Campbell County. And so I certainly agree with the intent and understand that, you know, maybe we should be looking at fuel prices, but I think that's just one factor and not the entire factor that we should be looking at when looking at transportation costs. Thanks, Mr. President, on and against the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, I think one thing we've seen all over the state is we're taking kids out of classrooms, busing them to the far corners of the state, you know, and for good purpose, for various sporting events, various other contests, field trips, et cetera, et cetera. And, Mr. President, I hear the fuel arguments, but I think the more important argument is that we've, by the 100% reimbursement we've had, the transportation costs have gotten out of hand and are starting to harm the classroom performance. And this is a reform we need to get started on so that we can make the adjustments gradually. So I would urge adoption of the amendment because I think it will improve the performance of the schools.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you. I have a question for the author of the amendment. I've got a small district where, in true Wyoming fashion, they were very parsimonious in their use of these resources, and they were running buses till the wheels fell off. Then the bus barn caught fire, and all three buses burned up. And under emergency, they had to get three buses for three leases. They previously had not been carrying three leases. They're currently being reimbursed for those three leases. Does this change that? Because, you know, these small districts are just on the razor's edge, and I want to make sure that we're not going to unduly penalize them for having had a bus barn fire. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, on the amendment, I think this is one area that the K through 12 can cut and has money available that they can move this. So on and for the amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I on and against the amendment, but I would like to state that I think that this would have undue effects on various different districts, and specifically those districts that have unified based on county lines. And my district is 100 miles long by 70 miles wide. It's got the second largest transportation budget in the state, and that's because we're bringing kids in from all over. We're not a district that has open enrollment and allows kids to bus across the city. So I think that your smaller districts, the districts that haven't unified, would not be hurt as much as those districts that that have years ago. So, and the second part of it is, we've decided that we're going to recalibrate this coming interim. So I think we can wait for a while.
and look at the numbers. We're going to have to reach into policy, actually, and change some things, like distances from home that kids can walk and those types of things. But at the end of the day, I hope you vote no on this bill, on this amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for his second time. Senator Hicks, for your second time.
Yeah, Mr. President, and I will start to try to answer the first question, and I'm not sure on this, but I think in the existing bill, because of the school buses, there's an exigency circumstance in there that they can replace those school buses. Obviously, I think as far as the facility, the building itself, again, I think that's part of the transportation issue, but I think there's an opportunity for those school districts for emergency purposes to seek other funding. One thing I'll tell you is if you look at this, and at some point in time, we're going to have to address this issue. You can do it now or you can kick it down the road. We fund 100% of the cost, 100%. There's absolutely no incentive to be efficient with how the districts, not to say that they're not, but I think we all recognize there's could improve efficiency. But if we don't get our handles on this, if we just take a 2% increase over the next couple of years, you're looking at a $95 million transportation budget, folks. At some point in time, we got to just put a say, let's stop, let's reevaluate. I would contend that anybody, if we cut it at the current level that this suggests, is about 9%. 9% is not a high thing, a high bar to achieve as far as trying to just get efficient with the use of your transportation budget. I think it is well within the ability of almost every school district in the state to become a little more efficient, Mr. President. Vote it up, vote it down.
We're voting on third reading, Senator Scott. We've already, ayes and nays. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
I'm going to take the ayes and nays on this one.
Okay.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 165. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 165 has passed. The chief, or the reading clerk, please reading in second reading amendment, or third reading amendment number 2.
Senate File 165, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 2, line 7.
Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate File Reading Number 2, Amendment Number 2, to a substitute.
Third Reading Amendment Number 2.
Excuse me, Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to a Senate File 165, the substitute bill. Members of the Senate that brought this, yesterday I was considering taking a look at this whole section. I got up and withdrew it. Understood that we're trying to do what we can do with budget cuts. So what I did is brought this amendment, members of the Senate, to leave a little bit of room in there for other programs that are involved in our schools. Still 80%, you can still get the full-time equivalency at 80%. We have various work-related programs. We've got people headed out to a technical school in one part of the state. In several parts of the western side of the state, we have people heading out to one period of the day for religious studies. In my own business, I pull about 4 to 6 students once a week out to I pull them out of school early to travel to athletic events for broadcasts, give them on-hands experience. We're doing this across the state, and this full full ADM caused me great concerns that we didn't have enough leeway in there, because the members of the Senate, not all good education happens in that classroom. There's a lot out there in our communities that allows them to continue with their education, but not have our schools hit with a reduction. So with that, I bring you this amendment and ask for your approval.
Senator Cole.
The rising neither on or against the amendment, just to enlighten the body a little bit and say a couple of things, that remember that the block grant that goes to districts is based on ADM, average daily membership. You go up, you increase your ADM, you get funded more. You go down, you get funded less, even though that's an average. So I just caution the body that that's what's going on here. It's a policy decision. Might be a good amendment. I don't have any opinion on it, but either on or against the amendment, that's just information for the body.
Senator Meyer.
Amendment, Mr. President. You know, we've I think, taken a lot of money out of the system, and this allows a little bit of flexibility just in case we took too much in one place or the other. It just allows the district a little flexibility in these areas where you have these outside activities by students. And I think it's important, Mr. President, as we go through this process to understand that, we're trying to reform education, but we want to do so in a flexible manner.
Further discussion? You wish to speak for your second time, Senator Dockstader?
Ask for your support on this. We are doing a lot with the schools, the whole education budget. This gives us just that little bit of room and helps us realize that there's a lot of education still outside the classroom.
Further discussion? This has got money involved, so we'll have a roll call vote. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 165. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
By your vote, you have adopted third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 165. Members of the Senator Coe, before you stand up, there are amendments that are out there that have not been distributed to the floor of the Senate for Senate File 165. And we've already been started debate on this bill, and our rules do not allow us to lay it back since we've started the debate on Senate File 165. There are amendments coming. And Senator Coe, where are we at on those amendments? Could you give me an update, please? Just a second. Let me.
Mr. President, I just had this put on my desk here about 7 to 8 minutes ago. I can go and have it put out quickly. What we have, I've been notified by staff that we have some cleanup that needs to take place. And it's fairly substantive, but actually not too bad. I mean, it looks like it's worse than it is, but or as
let's start over again, Senator Cole.
or as said, this isn't as bad as it looks. Mr. President, your call. I can have this amendment drafted and put out. It's all technical corrections found by staff, just put on my desk a few minutes ago.
Are there any other members of the Senate that have not got their amendments in timely on this particular bill? Are other senators? Senator Cole, let's get it out here. What we have to do, we've already started a discussion on this Senate file, so the Senate will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel and we get this amendment out.
Do you have something from him that explains what it does?
Hmm?
Do you have something from Dave that explains what it does?
Here we go.
Hey, Stefan. So what came out of that this morning? Anything?
No. She left before it was done. But it sounds like they're talking to each other. I think PTSB is getting...
Is PTSB and the ETS?
No. I think PTSB is getting more and more. They saw the reporting feature first in the day. They never knew it was there.
Yeah.
I don't. What was the deal between PTSB and ETS?
Well, they've been looking for new software systems. The two big companies.
And they haven't seen it.
Well,
we gave $2 million to somebody for software, and we don't have any software yet.
Well, they said they went live years ago.
It was the best kept secret in state government.
Yeah. Okay. I think the problem with ETS is.
Why don't you pull ETS in for your education committee and have a little hearing about it?
Well, that's what we just did.
Oh, okay. Informal. That happened in our education committee meeting 2 years ago.
What they said today?
So
you said the same thing 2 years ago, huh?
So,
did you tell them that? Somebody say that?
Yeah.
And they said?
Well, you know,
just a few more. That was then, this is now.
And Tony is trying to, because the waters are not here anymore.
Mm-hmm. So he's trying to blame it all on.
No, he's not. But. I think a lot of the problem was headbutting between the old director of PTSB who's gone now and the old director of PTSB who's gone now. So I think things are better. It's just communication. That's all we need.
So we've had at least a year, if not 2 years, of wasted time in deploying the software, having it 2 years of non-use while it continued to degrade.
And consternation. We spent a lot of money. They could have bought $350,000. ETS.
Who let ETS get away with that?
ETS. They PTSB originally put an RFP out to actually buy software, and they got bids in. And the low bidder was $350,000. They did everything they wanted. But PTSB put a because they said, no, we're going to build a system where all the licensing boards are going to, be on this Lego system. Well, since then...
So much for Lego.
Since then, they've waived every other board. Go out and buy your own. Go out and buy your own. So all these other boards now have gone out and bought their own. ETSB is tough. Because ETS made it. I think now,
Well, it depends what works or not.
You got to make it work. If
it doesn't work, it's, it's spinning. They'll drop another $350 just trying to make it work and you still don't have any.
See, it's all technical stuff.
But what's all this big stuff? I mean, you're ready now.
Further in this phone.
Is he just restating the paragraph? What's he doing?
Page 2.
What is M? And there is no M. There's no M in the other one.
We insert
insert a new paragraph M, and we insert a new paragraph 5, if I read this correct.
Yeah, because there's no M in the bill. There's no M in the amendment.
What are you trying to do?
The Code Secretary Amendment, where?
Page 2, line 18.
Page 2, line 18. Okay, so
You know, the first two I understand, but it was pretty easy.
So then he's saying, go down here and he says, do what? It says, go down, the co-second reading amendment and the co-amendment to this line. After page 2, line 18.
Insert. M5FI.
That makes no sense. In line 8, page 2, line 18 would stick you in the middle of this paragraph.
But that's what I'm looking at.
Well, you're looking at the substitute bill. Isn't he referring to the co-second amendment, the second reading amendment?
Mm-hmm.
This is the co-second reading amendment right here.
Right.
But he's got you on page 2, line 18. He's got you in the middle of this.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong thing here.
So that doesn't make any sense either. Oh, after page 2, line 18, so then he goes, delete the co-second reading amendment and the co-second reading amendment.
The M's are in my amendment, so it said determine the amount to be included in the foundation program. Then it goes on to say...
I'm looking for one.
And then...
Okay, I see what he's doing. He's just restating M. Mm-hmm. And then he's restating the foundation program. Managed district. Okay, so what's he saying? Based upon, instead of from the state superintendent shall, and he's saying based upon ADN. This is what, let me read this, and you compare it against that. Let me read this.
Okay.
So based upon ADM computation that identifies school configurations in each district pursuant to paragraph Romanet 4 of the subsection, comma, compute the foundation program for each district as prescribed by the Education Resource Block Grant Model adopted by the legislature as defined under WS 2113-101A Romanet 4.
Okay. 14.
As contained within the spreadsheets and accompanying report reference under same thing under Romanet 17.
Got that? Okay.
On file with Secretary of State and maintained by the State Superintendent pursuant to WS 212202E. The following criteria shall be used by the State Superintendent in the administration of the Education Resource Block Grant Model. F, cap F, amounts provided within the model for health insurance shall be based upon Roman numeral 1, except as provided within subsection 3 of this subparagraph, comma, prior year statewide average district weighted actual participation in district health plans as proportion of employee only, split contractors, employee plus spouse or children, employee and family coverage, semicolon, any strikes. So is that still the same?
Yeah, because he strikes and, semicolon and, strikes
same
and.
Thing.
Then except we're the same so far.
Except as provided in subsection 3 of this subparagraph, the analyzed state contribution rate as of January 1 of the preceding school year on behalf of each employee and official enrolled in the state group health insurance plan and for employee-only split contracts. Let's see. I already read. No, it says the same thing again. Plus... or children and family coverage, semicolon.
Plus spouse or children and family coverage, semicolon.
And
he puts and in.
Yes, that's the same thing. And then it says for school year, then 3 is for
school
year
what?
Only, 2017 to 2018 only. And he does a semicolon. Then he breaks this into A, B, and C. So he breaks the amount.
He's
breaking the paragraph. He breaks this huge paragraph in the
close microphone.
Okay. I think that's all he
let me tell the president we're ready. Thank you, Diana.
Set on 165.
Yeah, we have four on each now.
And now we've got two more on 165. Senator, please come to order. Members of the Senate President has been pretty lenient in these amendments because these are important bills. And you have the amendments now on your desk. And I'm sure the bringers of the amendment will explain them very clearly so we know what we're voting on. But I'm going to make a decision on these two bills unless you want to override me. We're not going to have any more amendments. Okay? Third reading, amendment number 3 to Senate File 165. Will the reading clerk please read in that amendment?
Senate File 165, third reading amendment number 3 to substitute bill number 1, page 1, line 11.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President. Move third reading amendment number 3 and ask the Senate to trust me. Mr. President, you'll see on the first part of the amendment that we delete and create a new subparagraph H and P, and on page 1, line 13 in the second reading amendment, after 2113.321B, we insert by creating a new subsection H. Page 2, after line 18, delete the co-second reading amendment to this line and further amend as follows. So what we really have done here, Mr. President, if you track the amendment, you'll see where we have in my second reading amendment, we have new paragraph M and paragraph 5. We've got F. We've got 1 and 2. Well, where the real change is that staff came in, and you'll see on page 2, you'll see paragraph 3, big I. And what has really happened there, staff's come in and broke that big paragraph into three separate paragraphs, A, B, and C. We also go in and we take some of the language out of, as you'll see in paragraph A, out of my amendment, where it says the amount calculated shall be based upon prior year. We take that out. In my amendment, we changed January 1st, 2017, or 16 to 2017. And after district health insurance plans, we create a new paragraph B. To read this subparagraph shall not apply to health insurance amounts generated for employees funded as service employees or employees who are funded 100% with federal funds. If you go down further, you'll see where my amendment has said shall not apply to health insurance amounts generated for employees funded as special education employees transportation employees, food service employees, or employees, that's where we create a new paragraph C that says employees funded with less than 100% federal funds shall be calculated based on the pro rata amount that the salary of each employee is paid with the foundation program funds or funds received by Wyoming Statute 2113.334. Paragraph H, pretty much after that, that's the paragraph on ghost teachers. And then pretty much after that, Mr. President, it's all just three numbers. So the substantive change is on taking paragraph 3Bi and creating three separate paragraphs. That's what the change is, Mr. President. Try to answer questions on the amendment, but like I said, trust me, I hope I explain it as well as I can.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, of course, I'd trust the good senator from Cody any day, but I do have a question. Yeah, they're laughing, gagging on that one. On the third page of the amendment, lines 1, 2, and 3, it says, this subparagraph, and this I think is in the original language too, this subparagraph shall not apply to minimum teachers or any calculations for alternative schools or small schools. And I understand the last, but what do they mean shall not apply to minimum teachers? That kind of seems to defeat the rest of the paragraph, but I'm not sure what that means.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Center office.
Minimum teachers is a term of art specific to the small schools, where a small school has a minimum number of teachers that's going to be there. We also use that language, I believe, in alternative schools. So the concept is that there would be no reduction of available teachers for the small schools or for the alternative schools, despite the language above, just for clarification, Mr. President.
Anyone else before the sponsor of the amendment speaks for a second time? Senator Cody wish to speak one more time?
You know, kind of mucked this up well enough so far.
You know, is there enough? I'm not sure there's an amount of money involved in this. Does anyone wish to call for the ayes and nays?
No.
Okay, all in favor, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 165. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 165 has passed. We're on third reading amendment number 4. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
Senate File 165, third reading amendment number 4 to substitute bill number 1, page 5 after line 2.
Senator Nethercott.
Mr. President, I move for the third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 165. This amendment just expands the scope of my senator from Neutrona County's a previous amendment which allows for the Department of Education to receive reimbursement not only for special education, but all of the other programs that are delineated in this amendment. So services administered by public schools necessary for medical, social, educational, special education, which we already have, occupational, speech, physical therapy, and audiology needs, and related services. So instead of just limiting it to those services for special education, this expands the scope so the Department of Education has that ability to seek additional reimbursements for any of those services the schools may be providing.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this does slightly expand the scope with the original amendment. We were trying to get the federal reimbursements available for Medicaid. This is reaching a few other areas where my understanding is the State Department feels that we could get some Medicaid reimbursement. It's entirely consistent with the spirit of the First Amendment. We'll, if we make it work with the feds, get us a little more federal money that would be quite useful, Mr. President. I urge its adoption.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 165. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 165 has passed. Senate File 165, having read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 165 pass the Senate? Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter? Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 165 has passed the Senate. Senate File 95, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 95, Early Retirement, sponsored by Senator Meyer, an act relating to retirement.
We have several amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number 1?
Senate File 95, third reading amendment number 1, page 3 after line 6.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 95, ask for the body's favorable consideration. If you recall some of the discussion we had a good question from the Chairman of Appropriations as far as what state funds were. I felt it was important that we clarify that. And so lines 6 and 7 essentially is what's in the bill, and then we add in, for the purposes of this section, state funds. Means funds for which the control of the fund is unrestricted for payment of salaries and benefits in any other purpose under this act. Essentially what this says, Mr. President, is that as long as it doesn't cost the state any money, in general funds, you're welcome to try to qualify your employees. If it's a special fund or another fund, so it essentially is revenue neutral to the general fund. May actually make some money in certain circumstances to the other agencies within their other special funds. So, with that explanation, Mr. President, I would. Stand for questions. If there are none, I'd call for the question.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question for the sponsor with respect to the nomenclature of state funds. I mean, ultimately, school districts in large part are derived from state funds through the block grant. I don't think UW will qualify that. I don't think 50% of UW's funds come from, quote, state funds. But is that the intent? Hope they have that. I mean, what does state funds mean, and what help us understand that a little bit, please?
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, on that point, I think in committee there was some discussion about just adding the word state general funds, and I'm just wondering why this language, if that achieves that same objective. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer, for your second, or Senator Case, did you wish to get up?
Chairman, I'm pretty positive I can find it here that even though that definition of funds is a little broader, that we are not bringing in the school districts, we're not bringing in the University of Wyoming, because they're already excluded, and I'll find the place in the bill, but they are already specifically excluded. So this is an amendment to just broaden the funds. And basically it says, and we're getting a lot of emails from folks that are feeling excluded by this, as you know, that work for agencies that don't qualify mostly because of federal funds. But, Mr. Chairman, this is a practical amendment, or Mr. President, this is a practical amendment that says, you know, if the funding source makes it work to pay all the costs of this and come out ahead, go ahead and try to do it. I'm okay with that, but we do intend to follow this bill all the way through, Mr. President. Senator Meyer and I will be journeying down to the end, and you're all welcome to join us to keep an eye on how this develops. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 95. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate file 95 has passed. Third reading amendment number two, will the chief clerk or the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate file 95, third reading amendment number two, page 2, line 10.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number two to Senate file 95. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this does is just clarify in the notification process. We basically say that the board shall notify eligible state employees of the early retirement option. What we want to do is say that they are conditionally eligible. As the bill was subsequently amended, this section, we have a conditional eligibility, and that is that of the directors and the governor. So we just wanted to make state employees aware that, they're conditionally eligible. So that's all it does.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 95. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number two to Senate File 95 has passed. Third reading amendment number three, will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 95, third reading amendment number three, page 6, lines 5 through 9.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number three to Senate File 95, as for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a substantive change here. On the second reading amendment, we had taken out the incentive for people over the age of 65 to retire. This partially restores that, but puts it back to the age 67. There were some concerns, I think rightfully founded by the good senator from Lander, that this part of the bill could possibly be gained in that area of the folks just over 65. So we moved the eligibility standards up to 67. And dropped it down from 3 months to 2 months of salary. The reason for that, Mr. President, first of all, it makes it a little cheaper. It still provides an incentive, but if you take it down to 2 months rather than 3 months, that drops it down to less than 1 year of the insurance benefit. So there's no way that they could play games from that age from 65 to 67. And so it tightens it up and allows for an incentive with the older, higher-priced employees. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, I think this is it is certainly well thought out in the sense that it answers my concern about people just hanging on to get over the edge and then retiring and getting the extra 3 months' pay. This cuts the number of months down. I think the sponsors really improved this concept. It does make it available now for folks above 65. Actually, of course, 67 is the amendment. And I was contacted by our employees union, and they indicated that they thought a lot of people thought this was very valuable, and they were looking for it. So that's my input, Mr. President. Thank you.
Further discussion? Ready to the question? We're voting on third reading amendment number three to Senate File 95. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number three to Senate File 95 has passed. Third reading amendment number four, will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 95, third reading amendment number four, page 4, lines 11 and 12.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number four to Senate File 95. This particular amendment does address what the senator behind me has pointed out, that a number of state agencies have reached out expressing their concerns about not being included from Senate File 95. This is one of those concerns. However, it is more consistent with the purpose and intent of Senate File 95. This allows back in those particular state employees that qualify under Wyoming Statute 93607. Most of these individuals work for the Division of Criminal Investigation. This is really who this particular statutory section applies to, so that's important for the body to know. They are out of the general funds. and would allow them to be subject to this just like any other employee for that agency. So this would be consistent across the board to provide that equity for that particular agency and allow them to qualify as well from the general fund.
Senator Perkins.
I have a question about this. So can the good senator tell us which fund or which retirement plan that these folks in? Are they in the big plan or are they one of the other plans? Sometimes that makes a difference on how the numbers work out, because there's different vesting amounts and different contribution amounts and different vesting schedules in those. So if it's a different plan, it may not work the same way that the others did. If it's the same big plan, what we call the big plan, then it probably does.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for the second time. Senator Meyer.
That they are in a different plan, but the same parameters of the 50% higher back apply. So I would say they are general funds. They're in the bigger plan. I mean, they're not in the bigger plan. They do have different vesting percentages. They do pay a higher percentage of their salary into it. There's a lot of different areas there. They are, I think this particular plan is funded at a higher actuarial level. I think they're in the 90s. They might even be higher than that, but we can get that for you. But they're better off than the big plan as far as being actuarially sound. So that's some relief, you know. So with that, I think that it'll still be a moneymaker from that perspective.
Senator Kinski.
Chairman, thank you. I just want to be a little cautious on this. All of our deliberations in Revenue Committee focused on the big plan and the retirement ages and such under that plan. And even then, we're still kind of taking a little bit of a flyer here. So the bill's been pared back to where it's not anywhere near as bold as it was originally. We're kind of toeing the water, seeing what kind of results this produces. And to take a whole different plan that we never even discussed in revenue, I'm a little bit cautious about that, because there's different retirement ages, and I'd just be cautious on this one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just building on the previous comment, during the Revenue Committee, I think we saw some charts about who would be eligible under Senate File 95, and obviously that's changed over these different versions that we've been looking at. I'd be curious to know if the bringer of this amendment could give us some estimates of how many people would be drawn in under if they were included. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Nethercott, for your second time.
Mr. President, I, of course, did not have the benefit of receiving the literature handed out at Revenue Committee, but just from my understanding from the agency, there would be very few individuals that actually would be able to benefit from this. You're thinking of law enforcement officers. Frequently, they're not doing a lot of law enforcement activity after the age of 65 and or 50. They also don't qualify for the rule of 85, so that's important to know. The good senator behind me was accurate, based on my understanding as well, concerning that it would be a net benefit based on the higher contributions and receipt of that particular retirement account.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 95. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Senate File 95, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll? Just a second. Hold on. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't mean to hold things up for long, but I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts on this bill. I can remember one time going out with my dad. I think you know that he worked for a state agency, and we went out just to kind of check hunters one day, and we came upon these guys that were staying at a neighbor's ranch, and they were not from our part of the world, but we stopped and visited for a minute, and my dad said, well, did you see anything? And one of them said, no, but I got a good brush shot. And Dad and I looked at each other, and we thought, ooh, wonder what was in the brush. You know, and that's kind of what I was thinking about with the good work on this bill. I think I'm going to be willing to take a brush shot with this one, but I'll be looking forward to the engrossed version so that I can. I'm just struggling a little bit to track this one, Mr. President, and so I'm going to take a brush shot on it, and we'll see how it turns out.
It's one of these things.
I think we've all met those hunters that shoot into the brush and scares the heck out of us, Senator Landon. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, along the same lines of concern expressed by the great white hunter from Natrona County, this bill is exceptional in the fact that it's there's very few times I can think of that the Senate has been voting on a bill that we know is not complete. This pie is only half baked at this point, and so but I like the idea. I think the Senate likes the idea. There's a number of state employees who really like the idea, except those who found out they're not involved in it. However, what I would like to know from the sponsor of the bill, this bill's been amended 7 times now since it hit the floor for committee of the whole. I'm sorry, since it hit committee. So I was wondering if I could get the sponsor to tell us what the bill exactly does now, but more importantly, what still needs to be done. I know, for instance, there's no appropriation on this. We know there's going to money's going to be needed, so we know there's going to be an appropriation. What else is going to be needed for this bill to be complete?
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
A very comprehensive bill that brought in over 2,000 employees. And we the Revenue Committee said, well, let's walk before we run. And so what we've done is that we've pared this down substantially. And we're shooting somewhere around that number of, that would be somewhere around 200 additional employees. And the retirement board came back that they said we'd have an extra 152 employees is what they estimate over the normal employees. So what this bill essentially will do, if the governor chooses to, and if the directors choose to, is probably you take the normal 400 to 450 employees that are normally retire, about half of those would probably qualify under this, and then another 152 on top of that. So you're going to be looking at somewhere around a 200 employee reduction across state government if it's fully implemented. Now, I doubt if we're going to get full implementation because we can't get implementation in Department of Corrections because, you know, maybe partially, but they're pretty much tight right now. And you're going to have those different things that are going to be discussed among the governor and the agencies. So what it does do is it does move forward and allow for an incentive to get people out of government and shrink the size of government. And it gives them a door to walk out of rather than at some point in time we just cut them loose and throw them out the window. So that's what the bill does do. And I think that the hard work that Revenue Committee put in, Senator Kinski and Senator Case especially, basically pared it down to where it's more or less a pilot project on early retirement rather than a full-blown early retirement bill. And you hear those things coming back in from other employees saying, you know, pick me, you know. But we want to make sure that we're walking before we're running. The one thing that I'd say that we might look at and discuss and see whether you guys have any heartburn with it down in the House is whether or not the governor is going to implement this, because he has sole discretion. Whether or not we should give him a bar where 10% of the employees are affected in an agency before he has sole discretion. you know, or whether we just trust the governor at sole discretion. You know, so that's the only thing that comes to my mind, that I'm wondering whether they're actually going to jump on it and go. I think they're going to get a big push from the employees to say, yeah, let's implement this and let's move forward. But I don't know where that's going to happen. So that's the only thing, Mr. President, that I have in the back of my mind, is whether or not it's going to be as effective as it could be. But we could see 200 less employees if it's fully implemented. And I'd say that would be, you know, and that's with the assumptions that retirement has. I think it could actually be higher than that. But that's kind of the number we are shooting for in the discussion as far as a pilot program to move forward. And that's, Mr. President, I think that's what we have with this bill. And I think we've got it pretty tight. I mean, we made sure that anything that we could see in it, you know, was taken care of. And when we get the engrossed version, Mr. President, I think, you know, we'll have another look at it. And Senator Case and I will, the good senator from Lander, will follow it down and keep track of it all the way through. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Senate File 95, having read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 95 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebau?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 no.
Senate File 95, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 95 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're ready for bills for consideration on general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of House bills on general file.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senator Case, motion carried.
Yeah, we'll see if we can knock three of these out and move on. Uh-huh.
This will take you about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
The Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first file for our consideration is, our first bill for our consideration is House Bill 30. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
House Bill 30, State Parks and Sites Fees, an act relating to state parks, historic sites, archaeological sites, and recreation areas, sponsored by the Travel Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz, Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
For the reading of the bill, what is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with favorable consideration of House Bill 30. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would move that amendment.
Let's have it read in.
House Bill 30, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 6, line 23.
Back to you, Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that amendment and would yield to the good Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate,
What this pretty little bill does is basically allows the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, to have flexibility in the fees that they charge. So it's more of a business-style model to see what the market will bear at different parks. Some parks are overloved, and some parks aren't loved enough. And so we want them to be able to have flexibility in their fees. And we'll go through the bill, and then when I get to the amendment part, we'll discuss what the amendment does. Just for your overview, I did hand out a flyer, a fact sheet for House Bill 30 that came from the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. Basically, this bill does not increase fees automatically. It just allows flexibility. The legislature has bill caps in there by category, and this will let them respond to market fluctuations and be able to bundle and package fees. And just for your information as well, there hasn't been a fee increase since 2008, and we're pretty much underpriced compared to our neighboring states. So to begin on House Bill 30, State Parks and Site Fees, what we're doing is enacting, we're changing the statute 36-4-121 by creating new paragraphs, Romanette 17 through 26, and adding some other subsections, new subsections. So on page 2 of this pretty bill, it cleans up just archaic language is what it's doing. So basically the department will offer for sale permits on lines 5 through 8 to allow the use of state parks and recreation areas, archaeological sites, and historic sites. Before then we strike the language on page 2, which just details out every park, because what we're doing is allowing a flexible model for them. And so we designate where these permits will be. So we'll go to page 3, and the permits will be subject to per person or per vehicle or time restrictions as the director of the department deems appropriate. The director may also waive any permit fee. They can offer discounts. They can offer complimentary permits, gift certificates. And then on line 10 through 13, essentially they say we're not getting rid of the lifetime permit that's allowed in subsection N. That is the free lifetime resident disabled vet permit, and that's just a resident of Wyoming over a year here. So it's still there, except it's provided in subsection N. The cost of permits will be approved by the commission, and then here's the caps that we're getting to. So on line 15 through 23, it just tells the cap of the fees. For example, line 22, the resident daily use fee used to be $4, set at that. Now the cap is $8. But if they love the park so much, it might be at the higher cap, or it could be at a lower one if they don't love it as much. So that's the way the flexibility schedule works. So on page 4, again, they just give the caps on all the different fees all the way through line 18. You can look at those yourselves. I don't want to get you down too much in the weeds here. Okay, line 20 through 23, we strike and just clean up the language, basically say that they may issue additional vehicle annual daily use permits. And instead of having to go through and say what kind of vehicle it is, who owns it, we're striking the language and just saying they can just issue an additional vehicle permit or camping permit. And that will be in an amount not to exceed, down on lines 22 and 23 of page 5, not to exceed 50% of the cost of the original annual permit. Pretty simple. Then when we get over to page 6 of the bill, we talk about on lines 1 through 13, lost, mutilated, or destroyed permits. And what they're saying is that they'll just not exceed 25% of the cost of the original permit amount on lines 11 through 13. It used to be a $7 fee. Again, this follows the flexibility model, so they're not saying $7 attracts whatever the fee is, just for your information. Lines 15 through 23, this is where they take the money and they deposit the money into an account, and they say that it can be expended for capital construction, major maintenance, site interpretation. The interest accrues to the account. And now here's where the amendment comes in. So let's go to Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. On page 6 of line 23, we're going to strike. We'll reinsert the stricken language, the not more than. And then on page 7, line 1, we'll delete at least. And then we'll on page 7, line 2, we'll reinsert the stricken also. So the language now will now read, as per the amendment, we'll basically start on page 6 saying not more than 30% of the funds in the account in any fiscal year may also be expended with legislative approval for maintenance of the outdoor recreation facilities. We just wanted the agency to have more flexibility. We didn't want to say to them that they could only, that
at least 30% had to be expended. We wanted them to have a little bit of flexibility of how to keep up the parks. I think they have our parks. They love our parks, and they want to take care of them and make sure they're up to date and taken care of. So if you have any concerns about the amendment, we're just trying to give the agency flexibility. We're not trying to micromanage the agency. So with that, I would – well, let me go ahead and finish with the bill, and then I'll go ahead and ask for questions on the amendment. Is that – if that's all right.
Okay.
On the next lines, 9 through 15, basically we just say that that if there is, it's just cleaning up the language. It's still the same fine, $750, or imprisonment not more than 6 months if they don't pay the fee. And then when we get to the next section, this is on Ranchester Connor Battlefield Park. It's a site, it's a historic site, so that's why it's left pretty much the same. There's no changes to that language from the original statute. On page 8, this is just about special events and telling them that they can charge a fee that they set. The last part, 20 through 22 on page 8, is it saying that they can solicit donations from the public, solicit contributions. And on line 9, 4 through 19, basically it's telling them that they can charge amenity fees and that these amenity fees can be used for maintenance and construction as provided in subsection H. And then on lines 21 through 22, they just repeal limits A1 through 15 by this language, which we are cleaning up. So first of all, on the amendment, I would ask if there's any questions or discussion.
Discussion on the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion on the Standing Committee Amendment to Senate or House Bill 30, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the bill.
Okay, back on our pretty little bill. Any questions?
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just several questions, and this has been an issue about park fees that's been around a long time, whether we should have even implemented them. And, you know, we've stricken all the language of those parks that we now have and are under the supervision of the state parks. Now, if, in fact, this language goes forward, there's nothing to prohibit, if there's another park, from them initiating fees, whether we in the legislature agree or not agree with that. I'm concerned about that provision. And then we've set up a maximum not to exceed amount on how we increase permits. But why would we not want to have the legislature involved in raising fees rather than have a commission do it? I don't understand the desire to there. And obviously, it could very well very quickly go to the maximum numbers. And of course, we have no say in it as a member of the legislature. So when my constituents call me and ask why we're raising the fees, they don't like in the first place, I say, well, because we gave the authority to somebody else beside the legislature. So, you know, I understand what you're doing here. I have some real reservations about taking the authority away from the legislature, and yet we're the ones that's held accountable to our constituency. Help me out a little bit.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Chairman. President Bebout, Chairman, thank you for your concerns. In some cases, the fees actually will decrease. It doesn't mean that they're always going to go up. We are setting the caps.
Okay, anybody
Senator
else?
Senator Burns, sorry.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the idea behind this is we, as the good lady from Sweetwater County mentioned, sometimes some state parks are just inundated during particular times of the year, and most often by people from another state, usually south of us. The most obvious example is a certain lake about 100 miles north of here. Around the 4th of July weekend, it's just overrun by people coming from a state south of us. It puts an enormous burden both on state parks and cultural resources, but also on law enforcement from all over the state. They have to borrow law enforcement from everywhere. It's an enormous expense. This is the sort of thing we're aimed at. There, and this is modeled after other states. There's a certain state on the East Coast. They have the authority to change one of their most popular state parks. They have the authority to change the fee from at different times of day, depending on how crowded it is. So this is giving them the flexibility to adjust their fee basically to fit the market. And the reason that we would give them the authority to do this is the fact that we're not here the rest of the year. We're only here for 1 month, 1 year, and 2 months the next year. So we're not the ones who are in the front line dealing with the particular circumstances. We're in a new paradigm as far as state funding goes. Funding to state parks and cultural resources is going down from us. So this also allows them to set up and adjust their enterprise funds to meet what the market is. If there are constituent complaints to us, and we're sure there will be, and we always get them for one reason or another, we can always go back to state parks and cultural resources and ask them to adjust it, admission one way or the other, or ask for an explanation of why.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Anybody else? Any other questions? Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, having been on the travel committee for the last 4 years, state parks come back every single year and say, we don't have enough money to run our parks. These people are dedicated people. They do a lot of studies. They do a lot of inquiries of the people that visit there. They know the amount of money that these people will pay. And if these people, if the state parks have too high of a value or too high of a cost, then people will stop coming and they'll lower their things back down. So these people will self-regulate. And there were some good arguments on why the legislature should do it. But I think we can trust these people to regulate their own bureau. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other discussion? Senator Bebel, let me get your mark on. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder how many other situations, state government, where we give an appointed board the authority to raise fees. Does the sponsor of this bill have any idea? Do we do it anywhere else that I'm aware of? I know when we talk about traffic violations, those kind of things, we set the fees. I'm trying to think of any place else where we allow an appointed board or commission to raise fees.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think at least half the professions in Title 33 have some significant flexibility on fees.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Any further discussion on Senator Bebout?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, but those are the professional organizations, as I recall. This is different. This is an appointed fee. This is appointed by the governor, I think confirmed by the Senate. This is totally different than those boards.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Any further discussion? Senator Christensen, I see you rising.
Mr. Chairman, having served on TRW years ago or for 4 years, this was a frequent conversation. And I think one of the interesting thoughts behind this bill is the flexibility when we work at those, you know, they may have to do with those peak seasons or those peak weekends versus the rest of the time. And it gives us a little flexibility to communicate with your state park director, reach out to him to really kind of tailor it to the locals' needs and at the same time be able to play to the market when we get overrun. It seems like a good bill.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Seeing nobody else, are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 30. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 30 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file bill for our consideration is House Bill 33. The reading clerk will please read the file.
House Bill 33 engrossed, non-resident voter votes, gasoline tax distribution, an act relating to gasoline taxes, sponsored by the Travel Committee, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. I, Senator Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz, Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, to do so with favorable consideration of House Bill 33. For an explanation of this little bill, I would yield to the good Senator Barnard.
Thank you, Senator Emmerich. Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is probably the easiest bill you'll do this session. If you look at Line 1, page 1, it says, an act relating to gasoline taxes, amending the amount of attributable non-resident motorboats for computations for distribution to the Department of the State Parks and Cultural Resources as specified. On page 1, line 13, the department means the Department of Transportation. If you turn to page 2, the Department of Transportation deducts an amount collected on fuel used in motorboats computed by multiplying the number of motor boats during the current fiscal year by 5,000. And then they multiply up that by 28.75. That number is called the swag. You can refer to Senator Emmerich, and he'll tell you what that is. So what this bill does is they just took a guess at how many non-resident motorboats they had. They had 5,000. If you turn over to the fiscal notes, you'll notice under assumptions that this year they had 7,261 non-resident motorboats. And so if they multiply that by the 28.75, it makes it so that they made $65,000 more. And so that's why this bill's come. It allows them to make that computation and helps their bureau. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Barnard. Any questions? Any discussion? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify that the $65,000 comes out of our road taxes. Is that where that money's coming from? That's how I read the fiscal note, and that bothers me a little bit, that we would lose money off the highways on a wonderfully scientific swag. But
yeah, but Senator, there's no potholes on lakes. So, who would like to address the senator's question? Senator Emmerich, do I detect a motion? There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These are already fees that are being collected on out-of-state motorboats, and we did not know the number. So this swag, as the good senator put it, was based on 5,000. We now have the actual number of out-of-state boats that come through because of the search for aquatic invasive species. And so we're not changing anything. We're just, now we've got a handle on the total number of boats that qualify for this motor fuel taxes. And they have already been taken out. They're not taken from our road taxes.
Thank you, Senator Emmerich. Further discussion? Not seeing any. The question is on Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 33. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 33 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95. The reading clerk will please read the file. Correction, that next bill is House Bill 92. Please read 92.
House Bill 92, Payment of Wages Upon Termination, Time Limits, an Act Relating to Labor and Employment, sponsored by Representative Larson, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 92 do pass. There were no standing committee amendments, and I yield to Senator Burns for an explanation of the House bill.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 92 is a follow-up to House Bill 92 is a follow-up to House Bill 127 from 2015. And what all that did was regulate when an employer pays an employee when they quit. However, there was an unintended consequence that in that House Bill 127 found that it could have been in violation of collective bargaining agreements. So all this does is bring that into line for the employer of when they can pay an employee who quits if they're under a collective bargaining agreement.
Thank you, Senator. Questions for Senator Burns? Any questions?
Question.
Seeing none. The question before us is on Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 92. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 92 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you.
Let me get your mic on, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, so what we're going to do here, as I make the motion, Mr. Chairman, is we're going to just move to rise and sit again for consideration of bills, because who knows, maybe we'll finish our budget discussions early today and we can come back and do a few House bills. So Then right after that, we're going to move and come back, right back into the Committee of the Whole for consideration of Senate, continued consideration of Senate File 1. My plan is we'll do Agency 67, I think, is in the queue. We'll do that and then break for lunch and then come back and pick up where we left off. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Yeah.
Standing committee reports.
February 7, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred House Bill 130, engrossed, Harvest of Trophy Game and Fur-Bearing Animals, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Boniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Fun and games, introduction of House bills. I don't need that. House Bill 230, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 230, engrossed, Hemp Farming, an Act Relating to Food and Drugs, sponsored by Representative Laux. Passed the House, ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2.
House Bill 230, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 55, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 55, Spending Policy Amendments 2, sponsored by the Capital Finance Committee. Passed the House, ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2.
House Bill 55, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 79, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 79, engrossed, State Funds Equity Investments Pool, sponsored by Appropriations Committee. Passed the House, ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2.
House Bill 79, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 288, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 288, engrossed, Game and Fish Fees, sponsored by House Appropriations. Passed the House, ayes 40, noes 18, excused 2.
House Bill 288, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 276, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 276, engrossed, Recording Legislative and Other Meetings, sponsored by Representative Halverson. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 276, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 275, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 275, engrossed, Driver's Licenses Revisions, sponsored by Representative Eklund. Passed the House, ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 275, referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 183, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 183, engrossed, Security for On-Deposit Public Funds, sponsored by Representative Burkhart. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 183, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 254, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 254, Public Purpose Investments, sponsored by Representative Harshman. Passed the House, ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2.
House Bill 254, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 241, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 241, Background Checks, Interstate Compacts, sponsored by Representative Barlow. Passed the House, ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 241, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that that the Senate resolve itself and committee the whole for consideration of Senate File 1.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Case.
Committee of the Whole will come to order for the consideration of Senate File 1. Mr. Burns. Senator Burns.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a couple of cleanup items before we get to the next agency. First of all, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I would just like to, over the Internet, congratulate Sheridan High School on winning We the People competition for the fourth time in a row. And I hope that other schools start developing their We the People competition to give us some more competition.
We'll work on that, Senator Burns. Thank you. Congratulations, Sheridan.
Thank you. That being said, there were some questions asked yesterday, and I was hoping to answer those before we moved on. One dealt with the good tall senator from Bates Creek. He asked what would happen if the, if this budget bill did not pass. First of all, we would not be adopting the governor's budget reductions, because that's what we're adopting with this bill. Another thing, this would affect Agency 205 school funding. And the third thing is, in the bill, we'll be getting to it, especially in the 300s, there's a PLF holding transfer. In other words, what this bill does is we stop a bunch of the tips into the permanent funds so we can keep them to spend them for our shortfall. That would not happen either. Somebody asked about Agency 007, I believe that's military, about the Youth Academy. With the funding cuts, we go from four classes to three classes. Agency 48, Department of Health, the good senator from Bates Creek asked to see the details of the governor's cuts. He can refer to them in the budget book submitted by the governor. Agency 53, that's Workforce Services, the good senator from LaGrange asked how many employees there were. And there are in Workforce Services, there are 53, and also asked about Department of Tourism, 66, there are 28 employees. And there was one more question that was being answered by the good senator from Sweetwater County.
Senator Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure another clarification on you challenged the information I have in front of me from the military is that 500,000, which is biennialized to 1 million, takes the youth challenge from four starts to two, basically keeping the same amount of employees, because there's where our biggest bang for our buck came in. So that actually takes it down to two starts and affects about 120 kids. Now, right now being passed out on your desks, the information that was asked about the child care subsidy information, you'll be seeing that here, should be being on your desk here any moment. And the question came in, was there a work requirement? And yes, there's a work and or a school requirement. You either have to be going to work or in school. It's a stepped program. It's a tiered program. I believe there are six different tiers where and it's based income-based. So the subsidy is based on your income, and it's paid to the provider. It's eligible. The individual has to become eligible, but then it's paid to the provider, not to the individual, but it's paid to the provider. It would have an effect possibly on small business. You'll have the child care one, the one that says child care, that's the effect to the business. The other one is the effects to the individual. And if you look down, you have recent months, latest fiscal and highest summer months, up to $52 a month. And they may not, to the individual, and they may not seem like a lot to some of us, but it means everything to low-income people. So that's the information that the agency provided.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Where are we going now, Senator Burns?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, there is obviously some confusion between myself and the good senator over the number of classes at the Youth Academy. We will get a definitive answer on that. I had thought it was two. I was informed it was three. The good senator now thinks it's two. So we'll get an answer later today on that. With that, we would go back into the budget bill. And we're on section 67, University of Wyoming, And for that, I would ask that you call on Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move Section 67, University of Wyoming. You'll find that page 15 on your summary sheet and pages 60 through 66 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the chief executive's reduction to the University of Wyoming budget was $42,674,792, which represents a 9.7% reduction. Put differently, the budget reductions to UW account for approximately 17% of all the budget reductions that we talked about yesterday and we'll talk about today in the executive branch. According to the university, these reductions and the prior legislative cuts from the Penny Plan have resulted in a reduction of 202 positions through vacancies, attrition, and early retirement. That is a quick overview, Mr. Chairman, of what the governor did over the course of the last 12 months. The JAC, meanwhile, met the past 2 months and voted according to the following. The JAC denied the governor's letter number one request of $500,000 in general fund monies for the UW Science Initiative. That summary sheet, note one, for your information. JAC denied the governor's letter number one request of $475,000 general fund for a strategic enrollment management program. And the JAC did add a footnote, Mr. Chairman, to allow the university to pursue the development of that system through other internal resources. The JAC reduced $1,043,771 general fund to reflect position or program reductions as provided for in Section 320. We will talk about that later on this afternoon, fellow senators, but that's that position freeze and statewide budget reduction of 75 positions in the executive branch. And what the JAC is trying to do is to include the University of Wyoming and the community colleges in that effort. In other words, that would have been their share. There is not a requirement for a freeze of positions or a reduction in positions, but that is the amount of money that it would have taken, and that you'll find that in the community college budget as well. The JAC modified footnote number 7 to allow the university to expend $5 million general fund upon match for the purposes of research on unconventional oil and gas reserves. That is summary note 4 for your reference. JAC added footnote number 10, allowing the university to pursue development of a strategic enrollment system with internal resources. I just talked about that one. JAC added footnote number 11 to direct UW to work with the community colleges in developing a statewide approach to enrollment incentives and recruiting and requiring a report back for the 2019-2020 budget. Finally, the JAC added footnote number 12 to direct UW to work with the City of Laramie to consider closure of 15th Street between Ivinson and Willett, which is similar to direction provided by the legislature regarding Lewis Street with the expansion of the new College of Engineering and STEM Lab. So we have done that before. This calls for some reports back to us so that we know what the university is doing with regard to 15th Street. Mr. Chairman, that's a very quick rundown of a very big budget. I'd be glad to answer any questions. If there are no questions, I would move to adopt and close Section 67 and call for the question.
Questions? Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you give us an update on the accounting system at the university that I think we initiated to try to get that in place last year, and I know there was a lot of general fund money. And where do we stand on that? What kind of progress are we making or not making?
Anybody else? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like a little more discussion on the footnote 3 on the cheat sheet about the $1,043,000 general fund reduction. And I understand that it's trying to cut some more positions across the board, position freeze. My understanding is that the university over the past few years really has has done a tremendous job of biennializing all of their cuts and has ended up taking its fair share of cuts, probably more than many other agencies have, as I believe the good senator from Casper pointed out. And I was curious whether that was looked at across the board, same thing for the colleges that would be looking at these cuts, whether it's appropriate to include them on this position freeze or not, and whether the Joint Appropriations Committee had that discussion.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. Anybody else? Let one more pile on. Looks like it's back to you, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I may have to get back to the good president with regard to the accounting system. I will certainly do that. That presentation in December, I do not have notes handy on the accounting system. And so I will get back to you fellow senators on that. Regarding the additional $1 million cut to reflect the same share that was being asked of the executive branch with all the other agencies, there was actually quite a bit of conversation about that and some reluctance. That was not a unanimous vote on the Joint Appropriations Committee, Mr. Chairman, for exactly the reasons that the senator from the Ivory Tower pointed out, which is there's a lot of sentiment that the University of Wyoming has really stepped up. And that's a conversation we can have for the rest of the week with regard to what we're asking for the out of the university and the colleges likewise. At least four colleges have undergone 20-plus percent reductions in budget. They have reduced in those seven colleges 92 positions. So higher education, there was some trepidation there. But that does reflect the freeze that we're asking of the executive branch and the 75 additional positions that we're asking to be trimmed back by FY19. Hope that helps, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a bit of a follow-up. Those are all vacant positions that are currently being funded.
Anybody else? Senator Rothfuss, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more question for members of JAC, on page 65 of the budget, beginning there, we've got footnotes 10, 11, and 12, and I'm not so much concerned with the content of them because they all seem like good ideas, but Mr. Chairman, last year when we worked the budget, we had a very serious discussion about scaling back the procedure or the process of putting policy into the budget rather than just budgeting. So where we're adding footnotes that aren't about budgetary constraints or concerns or funding levels, but are simply directive to agencies. And then last year we certainly took very seriously the idea of trying to get that out of the budget and run legislation if we wanted to accomplish policies, run that separately, and keep the budget a very lean look at the funding of our agencies. And I was wondering, as I look at 10, 11, and 12, whether there was any discussion about that that attempt by the legislature, because to me those three read straight up as just policy discussion without any real budgetary implications, and I'm curious what the discussion was in the Joint Appropriations Committee about maintaining that that prior practice.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification's sake, is the questioner referring to footnotes 10, 11, and 12?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. On 10 and 11, this was a follow-up and something of a compromise with the university at their request because they had asked for additional funds for recruitment and retention. We denied them those funds but asked for a plan to bring us should we want to fund and appropriate money for this in the next biennium. We felt we wanted more information and more complete idea of what they plan to do with the money they wanted us to appropriate. Number 12 was, as the good senator from Casper said, was not a unanimous position on the part of the committee. I can just speak for myself. I felt that this was a city issue with the university. The university wanted us involved in it. I don't know why. And, maybe just to have the big gorilla backing you up in a particular fight you might be having. He might want to talk to some of the committee members who voted in favor of this. It gets hard to defend an amendment you don't particularly agree with or understand.
So you're not the big gorilla.
Well, it's only to somebody smaller than me.
Senator Von Platen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick, mostly yes or no question on the footnote on page 61, number 3. Wondered if appropriations ever did receive the report, or it says after the loan is executed, so maybe they never borrowed the money yet. Page 61 on the main budget, number 3, footnote.
Thank you, Senator Von Platen. Senator Bebop.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure my question's been answered about the counting. The other question I have, Mr. Chairman, is I know that the university made a real effort to try to reduce their spending with their vacant positions. Does anybody from the Appropriations Committee have a number on how many vacancies they've eliminated at the university or any? I know they're outside on early retirement. Could we be provided those numbers?
Thank you, Senator Bebop. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the university has already gotten rid of 202 vacant positions, I believe, is the figure.
Thank you, Senator. Anybody else? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And as I mentioned a little earlier, I'm scrambling a little bit here, but have not been able to find my notes with regard to that accounting system. That of course, was in the budget the last couple of rotations. I'll try to get information on that and get back to the President. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further discussion on Senator Burns. Hold on a second.
Vice President's question, it was a yes-no question. The answer is no.
Okay. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for a little further clarification with regard to the UW's position elimination, since April 2016, the university has reduced its total funded positions by 318. So it's a good bit more than it had previously been when you include all of the cuts.
Thank you very much, Senator Rothfuss. Further discussion on this agency? Okay, the question is on Senator Landon's motion that the sections that we adopt and close, Section 67, University of Wyoming. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That section has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, Mr. Majority Floor, let me get your mic turned on. I was ready to go all day. Go ahead, Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, we're delighted to know that you're ready to go all day. However, we'll go ahead at this time, and I would make a motion that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again with respect to Senate File 1.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
That's my class.
Okay.
Do we have any standing committee reports or messages from the House? Okay. Announcements. Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, I would request without objection House Bill 288 that was read in this morning be re-referred to Senate Appropriation.
Senator Emmerich, come up here for a second, please. And Senator Burns.
You know, this was the game and fish fee bill, and I stuck it in your committee because that's what you told me. So do you want to move it?
Doesn't matter anymore.
Why do you want to move it? You still want to do it. Oh, I do. I want you. But you asked me.
Well, you haven't worked with it yet.
No.
I thought it was just a reaper for the
future. It's not a reaper.
Oh, no.
On the way to the
problem. I got
let's just back off. You guys talk.
But this will be good for go ahead and keep it.
No, I have no problem either.
Okay.
Further announcements.
Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in about 15 minutes or so at down at the Appropriations Room, where we will take up House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, House Bill 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, House Bill 59, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, and House Bill 237, Community College Capital Construction. In addition, we will be meeting tomorrow at lunch, where we will take up HB 13, Investment of Public Funds, HB 60, Engrossed State Investment Policy, HB 262, Engrossed Penitentiary Savings Fund, and HB 291, Department of Health Facilities.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number three, Revenue, will meet at 12:45, 30 minutes from now, in Jonah Room L54 to take up House Bill 19, Engrossed Sales from Remote Sellers, House Bill 82, Engrossed Local Optional Sales and Use Taxes.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number nine, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow about 15 minutes afternoon, Jonah Room S18, to consider House Bill 32, Engrossed Ski Safety Act. That's a continuation from Monday. And then House Bill 2, Storage Tanks, House Bill 4, Engrossed NRC Agreement State Amendments. House Bill 0220, should time permit, ad valorem taxation liens on mineral production.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your committee, Agriculture number 5, will be meeting at 15 minutes upon adjournment today in room S27 to take up House Bill 86, Omnibus Bill Water Construction, House Bill 24, Engrossed Water Commission Duties, House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, if time permits.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Wednesday morning tomorrow at 8 a.m., Jonah S18, to consider the following bills. House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee. This is not, the intent is not to open the bill, but just to clarify an amendment that there was a split vote on. House Bill 123, Engrossed Probate Estates of Non-Residents. House Bill 124, Engrossed Uniform Trust Code Amendments. And House Bill 125, Engrossed Sealing of Trust Documents.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet Wednesday, February 8th, 10 minutes after adjournment in Jonah Room S27 to consider the following House bills. House Bill 128, Tribal License Plates. House Bill 176, Engrossed Veterans Tuition Waiver Program Requirements. House Bill 74, Engrossed Agent Orange, Health Awareness Month.
Further announcements? You heard them, Senator Perkins?
No, Wednesday.
And in recess, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 2:15.
Any other announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2:15 p.m. Yeah.